like getting married, Nathan.
Careful now.
Exceptionally brilliant for a lot of people, and Mbappe has that quality.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and download the OTB Sports app.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetsetGo. Quick start car insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at GetsetGo.ie.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. England's goals total 10k so far for Irish football. Gamble responsibly. GamblingCare.ie.
Now, you're welcome, Max. So, we have France in Munich against Germany to look forward to. 8 o'clock, the teams again. Pavard at right back, Varane and Kimpembe, centre-halves. We have Lucas Hernandez at left back. And then things get very impressive, you would have to say. N'Golo Kante doing his thing next to Paul Pogba and Adrian Rabiot. And then Benzema with Griezmann and Mbappe for company. As for Germany, they're in a 3-4-2-1, we would think, but we'll see how it plays out. Hummels in the centre of defence, Rudiger alongside him, Matthias Ginter there as well. They have Kimmich right wing back, Gundogan and Toni Kroos in the middle, Robin Gosens at left wing back, Kai Havertz and Thomas Muller alongside Serge Gnabry. I suspect that formation I've read out is slightly off, actually, thinking about it, but you get the gist, and there's a lot of good players there. Philippe Auclair is with us. Hi, Philippe.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. You know what, I was just thinking, really, you know, for teams like us, lowly Republic of Ireland, the qualifiers are very exciting. Every game is do or die. We have big national events. Can we eke a point here, a point there? For you French types, I mean, the qualifiers are dull. This is probably the first time you've been excited about a French match in a long time. Finally, the business end is here.
Well, okay, you can say that. Excited, a little bit nervous as well, because I don't necessarily think it's going to be the easiest of games, especially at the Allianz Arena. Mm. But yes, finally we're there. After a 2021 year, which hasn't been that great actually for the French national team, if you looked at the performances in the qualifiers, they were actually rather poor. But I suppose France is now at a level when it's only the major tournaments which count. I know it's going to sound terribly arrogant, but it didn't used to be the case, believe me.
Yes. So we'll get into this evening's game, but I just wanted to get your sense of the nature of the France-Germany rivalry down the decades or down the years. Like, we'd have a fairly good understanding here of the England-France rivalry, be it in football or rugby, and England-Germany, obviously, and, you know, the Dutch and the Germans wouldn't be best friends, and a lot of this is political as much as anything else. I think of France-Germany, I think of, not exactly allies in the World War, and that's got to be some kind of lingering factor. And I think of poor old Tony Schumacher. So give me your sense of France and Germany and the nature of this rivalry.
First of all, you can take all the historical factors, take them out of the equation. It's not just one World War, it's two World Wars, and also the 1870-71 war, which left very deep scars in France indeed, against Prussia. But you can forget about that. It's actually a very friendly encounter, if you can believe it or not. Wow. And actually, I think the scenes which you might see in Munich, you will see a lot of fraternization between the two sets of fans. And I know it sounds a bit strange to say that when you think of the recent history between those two sides, and you think, of course, the 1982 semi-final, which was one of the more traumatic, perhaps the most traumatic game in French football history for so many reasons. Then 4 years later, the chance for the Platini band of friends to go to a final of the World Cup again, and who is there? West Germany again. Then you think 2014 as well, Mats Hummels' goal, which, you know, ends France's journey in the competition. You would think that all of that would create a very strange atmosphere, but it's not the case at all. France's main rivalry in terms of football is Italy. It's always been. Oh. It's you know, our oldest adversaries or rivals are the Belgians, which is an old and friendly rivalry. But Germany, for some reason, and I have to say, when you ask the question, I struggle a bit to explain why, but it never has been that kind of needle.
Right.
I mean, it's a very big game. We're aware of that. But I wouldn't say that you would feel the same amount of emotion that you will feel before the England-Scotland game or before Germany against the Netherlands, which is, you know, a crazy game. You won't feel that, despite the fact that we've played them in two World Cup semi-finals, that we played them at the Euros.
Hmm.
And even with all of that, it's not really something that gets people incredibly angry. I was like, we've got to win, whatever. Yeah, we've got to win. Yeah, but we're not, you know, there's such a great deal of friendship between the two teams, two nations, I should say, which, of course, will sound extraordinary given, you know, our histories. But I think the way both the Germans and the French have worked towards not pushing history aside, but understanding that we could get together is something actually which is to be admired, to be honest.
Wow. I'm really surprised with that, I have to say. That's amazingly interesting. And it is quite refreshing.
Well, I suppose it's surprising from the outside. And to be honest, I've never thought, you know, I'm the son of... my father was in the resistance a little bit. He was very young. My grandfather fought in World War. One of my great uncles was killed by the Germans. But I never thought of it like that, ever. And we never thought of it like that, ever, amongst our friends, our families, and so forth. There was something called reconciliation, which happened, and which is why, for me, who lives in London, it is so shocking sometimes to see the references to World War II and so forth, because, you know, we know what it was like. We suffered, but it's not something that is weighing down our relationship with the new Germany. They are friends. And as I said, you can see that in Munich right now, with the two sets of fans fraternizing and looking forward to having a great game, and obviously to beat each other, because that's the sporting rivalry is very much there.
Mm.
But even Toni Schumacher wasn't able to transform that into some kind of a really bitter opposition.
Yeah. I said poor old Toni Schumacher. Of course, he was the one doing the damage. But I say poor because that's all he's remembered for, which probably isn't very fair on his career.
No, it's totally fair. From my point of view, it is. That's what he is. And he will be forevermore. That's, you know, you carry... It's karma. It's karma, my friend.
So, two contrasting moods, it seems, and sets of expectations here for these two great traditional powerhouses in world football. We have the French arriving as reigning world champions, most of us fully expecting them to replicate the team of 98-2000, and then the Germans, it seems, in a sorry state, and it's Yogi Löw's final stint in charge, a lame duck manager. They do obviously have home advantage this evening, which is the extra quirk in this tournament. You know, we see Portugal in Budapest, and it is obviously a huge advantage to have home advantage. I find it hard to believe, I'll get on to France with you, Philippe, obviously. I do find it hard to believe that Germany are as in poor a state as everybody is telling me.
I'm exactly with you on this one. And I actually watched Germany play against Denmark in one of their preparation games, in a game which was played at a pretty good tempo, and there was a lot of it was a properly competitive game, and they drew 1-1. And you look at that, you think, okay, they were not that great. They drew 1-1 against Denmark. No, they were actually very good for 45 minutes, created loads of chances, hit the woodwork twice. I think they had six big chances in the first half. They were just a little bit. They were not as good as they should have been in front of goal. But I don't accept that this German team is as poor as some people have said. And also, it's very difficult to judge. But see, one of the reasons why I'm really looking forward to tonight is that the impact of Müller's and Hummels coming back in the team in a major tournament, two players who have got huge experience, and I think in the case of Thomas Müller, one of the true greats of our time. In terms of, I mean, even if he's not recognized as such, he's a great player, truly great player. And also, many of them have finished the season on a high. And I'm thinking of the Chelsea boys there, you know, Rüdiger and Timo Werner. Well, okay, well, maybe we'll see him later. And Kai Havertz, who seems to be coming really good. So I'm thinking, no. And when you were actually giving the team, I was thinking, my goodness, there's an awful lot of very, very good players in there.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about the tactical formation, the tactical setup. Probably 3-4-3, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But the way exactly it's going to shape on the pitch is going to be fascinating. And also the opposition of style, the 3-4-3 against the 4-3-3, that's going to be interesting too. But it's a German team that could surprise us, especially in front of, even if it's only, I think, 16,500 spectators in Munich. It makes a difference. I mean, we saw it in the game that Hungary played against Portugal until the 81st minute or something like that. We saw the huge difference that it makes.
So I haven't watched much of France in the intervening years since their World Cup win. Can I give you the blunt and not very nuanced view from afar, and then you can put all the nuance on it? So France, okay, they've got their back four, and look, I remember Pavard's goal, he did his thing at the World Cup, and they've got Varane in there off the back of a not great season, but he'll be fine. So they've got their back four and that'll do their job. We have Rabiot there in midfield, he'll do his thing. We have Kante, we have Pogba plays a more disciplined role. They are a pragmatic bunch for all the panache, and so the plan is back four, lads, you sit in front, don't do anything fancy, and knock it up there to Benzema, Griezmann, Mbappe, and enjoy the show. That's how I have France.
I certainly hope it's not going to be like that. And I have to say I'm disappointed that Tosico and Atali so in the starting lineup. And I can't understand it. To be absolutely fair with you, I don't understand it. I think France is much, much better balanced with Tolisso instead of Rabiot. I think he's also a much better player, but that's just me. I'm a fan of this young man. And if the preparation games are anything to go by, and of course it's to be taken with a pinch of salt, because playing against a weak Bulgaria and Wales reduced to 10 men after something like half an hour is not really, you know, it's not very easy to judge a team by that. On the other hand, what I saw was a lot more rhythm, a lot more energy, and interestingly, a different kind of role for N'Golo Kanté. But that was partly due to the fact that Corentin Tolisso was there, and he was sitting in front of the back four and giving a lot of freedom to Paul Pogba and N'Golo Kanté, which is brilliant, because when you have that, believe me, it's quite a sight.
Right.
And I'm hoping that Deschamps is going to perhaps, you know, remove the handbrake a little bit. And it's not in his personality at all. You know, he's somebody who will think first and foremost, and he only think about the result. And not to lose today is going to be obviously the most important thing for him. But I can see where you're hinting at. Well, what I'm hoping, and you were making the reference to 1998-2000, I'm hoping that the 2021 French team will be to the 2018, what the 2000 team was to the 1998, a much more expansive, much more pleasant to watch kind of French national team.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's the return of Karim Benzema which is going to be make it worse to watch, to be absolutely honest.
Yes, because what was just so memorable about 2018, especially I would think for Manchester United fans, was seeing Paul Pogba in this incredibly disciplined role that they've never seen him in before or since. So, like, I'm massively curious to see Pogba in 2021 for France.
Well, what you will see, it will depend on the way that the team is set up and who is partnering in midfield, is a role that is perhaps going to be a little less constricted than it was in disciplined than it was in Russia. I think that Deschamps would like to use more of the wonderful talent that is Paul Pogba in midfield, his range of passing in particular, and not to constrict him in a role that would be more defensive. And so I'm hoping we're going to see more of that. On the other hand, he's doing exactly the same thing for N'Golo Kanté. It's quite amazing. The last few games with the French national team, N'Golo Kanté is basically playing almost as high as he is with Chelsea. So they're doing these incursions, and you see him like rampaging on the right flank and going into these wonderful runs with the ball. I mean, such a fluidity in his running. And we've really never seen him do that for the French before, but there are signs that it is perhaps the role that Didier Deschamps wants to give him. More expensive again. So that Pogba. But, you know, the one thing with Paul Pogba, he's completely at ease within the French national team. He's very much appreciated. He's somebody who takes great care of the young players in the group. He's now one of the senior players in that group. And he seems to breathe very easily to be himself. And also he doesn't need to, he's also perhaps with players like Antoine Griezmann, Kylian Mbappe, Karim Benzema, with absolute royalty, and N'Golo Kante, of course, His Majesty N'Golo the First. So he's with players who are easily of the same status as he is.
Yes.
Maybe that hasn't always been the case in his club.
And I did that documentary behind the scenes of the World Cup win showed him as a real vocal leader, even in the dressing room as well. And he was very, very, you know, enthused and focused. So there were, you know, a couple of wrinkles in advance of the tournament. There was Giroud complaining about a lack of service for all the many runs he makes. And Mbappe didn't have a problem with the critique. It was more that he went public with it. Is this a happy camp, happy France?
I think it's happy camp at the moment. I think it could change quite quickly because you have to think that a lot of the rumblings that there were before Benzema came in the team, everything's been smoothed over and everybody's happy and everybody's very friendly, and Benzema has been absolutely impeccable in the way he's communicated with the media and the way that he's played the game. Deschamps as well has played I was going to say with the straight bat, but he's played very good forward defensive shots, basically. But there are, should things not turn out as well as we hope they will, you will see that part of the public, of the opinion, is having quite a strong reaction. And that is one of the reasons why I'm a little bit worried about this particular game against Germany, if it didn't go according to plan. That is, if France lost. If there's a draw, nobody will mind so much. I mean, what matters is the qualification. But if there was a setback, I think it would have consequences. Because there are also, I mean, there are some tensions within the group, as there are within every single international group you can think of. I'm very interested to see how Kylian Mbappe is going to play in this tournament. I have to say, I'm not too sure. I don't think he's necessarily in the right frame of mind at the moment. And I'm not necessarily just thinking about the press conference that he gave yesterday, which was quite funny in some ways. But I'm thinking more in terms of his performances recently. He was doing far too much with the ball. He was trying too hard. Or he was trying things which were easy on the eye but didn't necessarily come off, which he really has to take out of his game in a major tournament. I think he's also not necessarily in the easiest of places as far as his future is concerned. He's very non-committal about that. You know, he's only got 1 year left with his on his contract with PSG. There's an awful lot of talk about him going, and this has an impact on players. So for these reasons and the slight tensions which might exist within the squad, slight, I insist on that. I'm hoping that the first game will be okay, and that will pull through that. Because if that were not the case, there will be there would be rumblings. There would be people who wouldn't be happy at all, and they would let people know about it too.
Okay, very interesting. We'll see where we are in 2 hours' time. Philippe Auclair, always great having you on. Thank you, Philippe. Enjoy the game.
Thank you. I hope I do.
Football on Off the Ball.
With Paddy Power's Save Our Game. England's goals total 10k so far for Irish football. Gamble responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
The OTB Podcast Network with Get Set Go. Quick Start Car Insurance that's ready when you are. Sort your policy anytime online at getsetgo.ie.